Welcome back. I am Mike Hansen, the host of Mic'd Up with Mike Hansen. That sounded kind of redundant, didn't it? But anyway, welcome back. I've been kind of on a sabbatical, if you will, from Mic'd Up with Mike Hansen. So we're going to kind of just jump right into things tonight. Let you, if you want to, you can go back to the BMG network and you can catch some of the old episodes of Mic'd Up with Mike Hansen. I believe there's only a couple up there. But that being said, this will be something that we're going to continue to do weekly. So you should be able to hear a new podcast from Mic'd Up with Mike Hansen every week. But welcome back. What you're going to get from me is kind of me just speaking my mind and kind of going over the latest events of things that have been happening and going on and, you know, taking them from my perspective, if my perspective matters at all. But that being said, today I want to talk to you about the coronavirus vaccine. And I also wanted to get into a little bit of something that happened to me this weekend as we celebrated the 4th of July and Independence Day. And actually, you know what? Let me start there. Every year, I like to take my family up to Albany, New York. We're from New York. And they put on a phenomenal display. Actually, it's probably the best I've ever seen. And not like I've seen a bunch, but I think it's the best I've ever seen in person. You go up to the Albany Plaza, up at the Capitol, and they put on a phenomenal display by Price Chopper, Market 32. This is not an advertisement for them, but they're the ones who put on the fireworks display. And they usually have good bands. I know 2 years ago, we got to see the lead singer from Styx. I forgot his name, but the band, he was with the band there. The sound was phenomenal. The quality was phenomenal. You thought you were listening to the actual album. The year before that, 3 years ago, I think they had Smash Mouth up there. But they usually have pretty good bands. This year, we weren't so lucky. Maybe COVID and everybody just kind of getting their feet up underneath them again and getting out and about and doing things. Maybe they couldn't book anybody. I had no idea who this band was. They were some funk band. I'd never heard of them before. Their name slips me. That just tells you how well known they are. And but anyway, the music was there. It was being played. It was good. It was decent. But as we're walking in, they have it's a huge area. There's a fountain down below, the stage all the way off in the distance. It's got to be, you know, 500-600 yards away. And from there, that's where they let off the fireworks. And the display is awesome. It resonates between the buildings, the sound. It really is. It's just incredible. But that being said, while we were there, the music is being provided by the city or by the state or whoever it is. They have a speaker set up. The sound is well-tuned. It's really professionally done. There's vendors there. There wasn't so much this year. Like I said, I think it's because everybody's just kind of getting their feet up underneath them and trying to get back to some sort of resemblance of normality here. But when you get in there, everybody's all got their, you can pick whatever you want. It's a big flat gravel area. You can bring your chairs, bring your blankets, and just sit down, get yourself comfortable, and get ready for the display. You know, you can set the kids off. Usually you can see them. You know, I send my older kids with off and give them some money. They can go get some food and bring it back and ice cream and what have you. So, you know, it's pretty well done. But my heart was kind of hurt, I guess, this time up there because this display really displayed to me or showed to me the state of the division that we are in this nation. I mean, here we are. It is the 4th of July, Independence Day. We're there to, you know, watch a display of the fireworks. Like I said, is phenomenal. We're there to see this, and at the same time, there to just enjoy ourselves. And some people take that to the next level. And in case being, while we were there, we were sitting there, and off to the right of me was a group of people, and I think they were native to the area. They brought in a Bluetooth speaker. And they were playing their own music. Now, mind you, their music that they were playing was far better than what the band was playing. But still, that being said, I thought it was disrespectful. It was very disrespectful to you know, kind of take over a venue where there's hundreds of people. And without a care of what anybody else was doing, sit there and gather with your few friends and just kind of the music was really competing with the speakers from the band. And what amazed me was nobody was saying anything. Wasn't my position to say anything yet. And what amazed me is, you know, the park police were there. Nobody said anything. I think nobody really wanted a confrontation, just kind of let it be. But as the day started going on, the sun started setting, you could hear very faintly, because the speakers were right there in our ears from the people that our friends over on the right hand side. But you heard the main speakers, the national anthem started to play, and those who could hear it, you could see they were standing to their feet. They were taking off their hats. Some were saluting. Some were putting their hand on their chest. And they wanted to, take that moment to, do what is traditional here in America, and is to, have that moment of silence, if you will, or even just a matter of respect, and stand for the anthem. The flag was there. There were some people that were saluting, but some people were just looking around, dazed and confused, because why were these people standing? Well, obviously, because they couldn't hear that the national anthem was being played. Because our competing friends over on the right hand side, their music was just was overshadowing or competing with what was being provided. So I took it upon myself to walk over to the person I saw that was standing next to the speaker, and I said to them very nicely and very respectfully, I said, "Hey, whose speaker is this? Whose is this?" And the person said to me, "What does it matter?" I said, "Well, because people are here to enjoy the music, and the national anthem is being played, and they would like to, to show that respect. And if you would, could you turn it down?" "Well, it's not my speaker, and if that's what you want to do, go, blank yourself." And I was like, "Well, that's really nice. I'm sorry." I said, I know where this was going. I wasn't going to get anywhere with it, and I apologize for triggering the person. I said, "Hey, I apologize if I offended you. I just wanted to see if maybe you could turn it down. I'll walk away now. I don't want any problems." I walked away, went back to my spot with my kids, and the anthem continued to play. We continued to stand, and we showed our respect. But it really hurt me that the irony in the whole situation is we were there to celebrate the 4th of July. We were there to celebrate our independence. And it is their freedom to do whatever they want. They could do just exactly what they did. They didn't have to stand for the flag. They didn't have to honor the national anthem. That's fine. That is their freedom. But their freedom to do that infringed on those who wanted to exercise their freedom to actually honor that. And that's what made me sick, is because we had two conflicting opinions, if you will, all in the same spot. And the irony was because the irony is where it happened. We are there to celebrate our independence, and we're there to celebrate it. And yet there was no respect in the people to do that, to honor that, and to allow others to honor that. And that kind of hurt me. And I just wanted to share that story, is that, I don't know what the point is to be made there, other than the fact that, we've come so far in this nation that we've just learned to, think about me, mine, and nobody else. And this is my freedoms to do what I want to do. And I don't care what yours are, but this is mine and you have no opinion. And that really hurt me, that this is how far we've gone and where we are right now as a nation. It had nothing to do with politics. It had nothing to do with races or nationalities. It just had everything to do with that moment, that we couldn't just take the people have no regard for anybody else but themselves. And that was really hurtful. Take what you want from that little story that I shared. But nevertheless, it was still a great display. It was incredible. I almost want to think that they had money left over from last year from COVID, not being able to do fireworks, and they poured it into this display, because it really was phenomenal. It was like a grand finale from start to finish, and the thing lasted about a half hour. It was really awesome. So, moving on, I want to talk to you tonight about the coronavirus and the vaccine. The vaccine seems to be the hot topic, and it seems like from what I'm seeing in the news is we have so much stock in this vaccine, or so much stock that we're running out of arms to put it in. And I I find it kind of funny because I went to the World Health Meter website, and as of 3:30 p.m. July 6th, we're looking at 185,192,807 reported confirmed cases worldwide of coronavirus. And of that, we have 4,004,983 deaths. And the bright light in that is 169,483,649 people have recovered. Now, this is reported statistics. These numbers can differentiate because of those who have reported, those who haven't reported having the virus. I know there are some people that have gotten the virus and did not report it to anybody. So these numbers can be skewed. But if I were to use the math alone, or the numbers and statistics alone that are on the World Health Meter website, now if I'm doing my math correctly, that is a 0.038% chance that you are going to succumb to coronavirus. And if we were to round that up, that is to 0.04%. That is less than half a percent chance that you are going to go belly up to coronavirus. Now, that's not to light, to make light of the fact that it, you know, it is taking lives. It is a serious thing. And but that being said, those are the statistics. Those are the numbers. And what really sets off a red flag and alarm for me is the push to put vaccines in people's arms. A vaccine that has no statistical history other than the past year. There's no, really no trials, no information other than we don't know the longevity, the long-term effects of what it's going to cause to people. We don't know anything. So my question is, why is there a rapid push to put these vaccines in people's arms? So I want to talk about why I choose not to vaccinate. You know, first off, I know I was ridiculed and maligned in the beginning that because I didn't take the virus seriously, and to my own admission, I shouldn't have. I should have. I kind of took it kind of tongue in cheek and like, you know, whatever, it is what it is. I took it as if it was the flu. Now we all know it's a little bit more than the flu, and hey, I can admit when I'm wrong. Okay, I will admit when I'm wrong. I probably should have taken it a little bit more seriously. But I still stand by the fact that I am going to take my chances with COVID more than I will take my chances with a COVID vaccine that was rushed to production and with no sort of medical trials, just pushed in people, and it's just being mass-produced and being put out there. Now, full disclosure, I had COVID. I had COVID. I had all the symptoms. But it wasn't as bad as some that I know, and even a couple people that have succumbed to it. But even hearing that statistic, or hearing the statistics of the 0.038% chance of dying from it, my question is, what is the statistic of adverse effects of the virus or of the vaccine that we're putting in our arms? I don't know that statistic, and I don't think anybody is going to give that to us freely, especially not from any of the outlets that we turn to. So what is the rush? I know in the beginning, you know, people were afraid of the virus, and people like myself mocked those who were afraid. I don't know if I want to say mocked. That's probably the wrong term to use. But I kind of sneered at those who were afraid of the virus. Oh, we're living in fear and you're afraid of the virus. But it's kind of funny now the shoe is on the other foot. Because me, not knowing anything about this vaccine, I'm afraid of the vaccine. So now that the shoe is on the other foot, we're being mocked and ridiculed for not wanting to take the vaccine. I kind of find it funny with the contrast there. So what is the rush? What is the rush to get all these needles in these arms? I mean, there's reports going out now that there might be putting together teams to go door to door and vaccinate people in your house. I mean, what is this, Avon? I don't understand. So I may be 2 weeks too late, but I know anybody who knows me, I'm a huge Buffalo Bills fan. And something that was released recently is, or 2 weeks ago, rather, not recently, but Cole Beasley, a wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills, has come into the spotlight because he has stood against the vaccine. And I'm going to read his tweet to you, and I thought it was pretty fascinating because it really struck a chord with me, and he became my new favorite Buffalo Bill, especially since I'm a fan. It says, "Hi everyone, I'm Cole Beasley. I am not vaccinated." He wrote this in a public announcement tweet, as he calls it. He said, "I will go outside and do what I want to do. I'll be out in the public. If you're scared of me, then steer clear. Or get vaccinated. Point blank, period. I may die of COVID, but I'd rather die actually living." The report goes on to say the defiant tweet comes on the same week of the NFL sent teams a memo highlighting different protocols for vaccinated and unvaccinated players. Cole Beasley goes on to say that I'm not going to take meds for a leg that isn't broken. I'd rather take my chances with COVID and build up my immunity that way. Eat better, drink water, exercise, and do what I think is necessary to be a healthy individual. That is my choice based on my experience and what I think is best. If I'm forced in retirement," he adds, "so be it." So he's basically taking a stance that he's not going to take it, and he feels that him and a bunch of NFL players are being ridiculed and marginalized for taking this stance. He goes on to say, "I feel for you, and I'm hoping I'm doing my part to represent you guys well," wrote Beasley, who was named second All-Pro last season for the first time in 9 years. I'm reading this off of CNN, because you know how accurate they report. He goes on to say, "Everybody's tired of meeting out here and eating outside and doing all those things we had to do this past year. He's just getting tired of the protocols and the agenda of not being able to live a normal life." And he's being, by other NFL players, he is being ostracized for coming out and speaking out. Chris Long, an ex-Eagles player, has gone on to openly and publicly bash Cole Beasley for having these viewpoints. But why is it okay that we can bash people for having an opinion contrary to what the public opinion is? And then when the shoe is on the other foot, it's not allowed. So either way, I was just going on. In my personal opinion, is there is not a track record out there for this vaccine yet. There is no history for this vaccine yet. I'm not saying I will never take it. I am saying I'm not going to take it now. And if somebody shows up at my door asking me to take a vaccine, I guarantee you I will make the news, because I think we have lost sight of what freedom and liberty is in here in America, and I think it should be my right, my choice, my decision, my free will to choose whether or not I want to put something in my arm that we don't know anything about. We're hearing people that are having cardiac issues after taking the vaccine. We're having people who are having breathing issues after taking the vaccine. We're hearing about people that are who are presumably healthy prior to this, who are now coming down with all sorts of, if you will, reactions to this vaccine. So I think me being a layman here, not having no PhD, having no degree here, but being able to see what's going on out in the media, out in what's being reported, that I'm not there yet. And from what I can see, there's just as much risk of something happening to me taking the vaccine and having a reaction as there is of me catching the virus and having something terrible happen to me as well. So I think that should be left up to the individual to make that choice, not for a bureaucracy, not for a political institution, or for anybody else to make that choice. It really should be left up to the individual. And that's where I stand, and that's where I'm going to continue to stand until you can give me concrete, solid statistics that it benefits me more to take a vaccine than it is to take my chances with the COVID-19. And that is my opinion. That is where I stand here at Mic'd Up with Mike Hansen. And until next week, we have something else we want to talk about. That is where I stand. That's what I'm sticking to. Mic'd Up with Mike Hansen was produced and recorded in the BMG Studios. Music was by Kevin McLeod. For more episodes, go to the bmgnetwork.com. Please join me again as I attempt to bring more rationale to an irrational world.